Josh Prather, pastor at Redemption Church. I'm going to be moderating the discussion, and I really appreciate you being here. Thanks for taking the time to be a part of this. So, Osama, if you want to introduce yourself, and then I think we'll just go around, make brief introductions, and then we'll get started.
Good evening. My name is Osama Shami. I'm the president of Islamic Community Center of Phoenix. I'm not a theologian or an imam. My perspective is from an administrative standpoint. I have a full-time job. I'm an engineer. I also teach mathematics at Glendale Community College. That's my hobby.
Please, Rick.
Hi, my name is Rick Love. I'm the president of Peace Catalyst International.
My name is Ahmed, as my brother Rick just said, and I have been working as the Imam of Tempe Islamic Center for the last 18 years, and I just resigned last month, trying to to change and to relocate hopefully soon. So I'm so honored to have the relationship with many evangelical pastors, actually. But number one I met was Rick Love. And we have been in love and respect and dialogue, discussion, and activities since then. And I'm so proud of this relationship. I believe, and I always tell my community, in order to be a good Muslim, you have, number one, to be a good human. So we do not see any conflict. We need each one of us to be a good human, a good believer, good American. And there is no conflict between this and that. Actually, they support one another. I'm looking forward for the discussion.
We have our own. My name is Jackie Parks. I'm the Director of Operations for Peace Catalyst International. I spent 5 years living in Morocco with my husband and my three children. So I learned what it means to love your Muslim neighbor and to live among them. So I'm happy to be here.
Good evening. My name is Muna Ali. I wear multiple hats, or in my case, scarves. I work as a physical therapist. I'm also an anthropologist, teach part-time sometimes at ASU. I'm co-founder of a couple of Muslim organizations, one of which is the Islamic Speakers Bureau that has done a lot of interfaith work in the Valley. I'm happy to be here, and I appreciate the invitation and the work that the organization is doing in fostering peace and understanding, because that's sorely lacking.
Thank you. So this whole night is centered around rewriting the rhetoric of hate. So why would we say that? The purpose for that is because we believe that in our culture, I think people usually start with hate and they don't start with love. So we want to try to have a conversation. We say, let's change the rhetoric. Let's change the conversation. We think that has to happen in relationship. It's really hard to actually talk about your neighbor, love your neighbor, if you don't know your neighbor. So for a lot of us in the room, we might not have relationships with Muslims. We might actually not know a Muslim. So I think it's really important to not always just believe what media is feeding us, what your Facebook neighbor might be feeding you, but to actually sit across from a Muslim and say, what do you actually believe about Islam? Why don't we hear it from you? And then Rick is going to explain, what do you actually believe about Christianity? So I think we're going to start the evening just by kind of giving a brief introduction to the faith, so we can kind of start with that foundation. So, Imam Ahmed, if you would start, we'd love to just in 5 minutes, if you can keep to that, that'd be great, an introduction to Islam for someone that may not know or they've heard things contrary to what you would say are true about the faith.
Thank you very much. Like any other religion, we have two things to talk about. Islam, which is the name of the religion, and Muslims, who are the people who are expected to follow and accept Islam to be their faith. When coming to talk about the faith, Islam, we have two things to highlight. Number one, the doctrine. Number two, the practice. The doctrine could be expressed in 5 or 6 things. We call them the articles of faith, which I'm going to dedicate the time to talk about. Anyone who accepts these articles of faith, he or she will consider to be inside the circle of Islam, then he or she will be required to practice 5 things. That includes the prayer, the fast, the pilgrimage, the charity, and so on. So what are the articles of faith? Number one, and the most important for us Muslims, is to believe in the uniqueness and oneness of the Almighty God. And that is the deity we Muslims 100% of the time worship, praise, and glorify, and ask forgiveness and mercy in our prayer, in our worship. Who that deity that God is, we believe, the same God of Abraham, the same God who created heavens and earth and created Adam and Eve. Now, even though most Muslims are non-Arabs, but they use the Arabic term Allah. Allah in Arabic means the God in English. And Muslims prefer this name because it is a unique name to the Almighty God that does not get to the dilemma of God, gods, or goddess. The word Allah is a unique name to the Almighty that does not reflect number or gender. And please, don't listen to those who try to preach and say Muslims worship foreigner God, different than our God. And many, only one prove it quickly, if you grab and open the Arabic Bible, wherever you see an English God, you will see in Arabic Bible Allah. And my friend and the brother Rick can confirm that since he knows, and Jackie, since they know Arabic, I believe, very good. So the first article of the Islamic faith is to believe in Allah, in God, as the deity, the creator, who is the only one worthy to be worshipped. Number two, to believe in angels, nothing really different to report than what you know. Number three and four, I will combine them for the sake of the time, to believe in all the prophets and messengers of God. And number four, to believe in the heavenly scriptures being revealed and given to these messengers of God as a guidance to their people. Our faith as Muslims in all the prophets and messengers of God is the same. This is the faith we have in Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Muhammad, Jesus, Joseph, Jonah, John the Baptist, Job. All of them, in all of them we have the same faith and belief. Each one of them became a messenger because he was selected, disciplined, honored by the Almighty God and received God's revelation. In this regard, we believe in all of them as humans, but the best, because they were disciplined and chosen and by the Almighty God. In this regard, we believe in Jesus, peace be upon him, the same person who lived 2,000 years ago, the son of the Virgin Mary, who was created by the power and miraculous birth by the Almighty God. We believe in him, a part of our faith, as the Messiah who was raised to heaven and will be descending before the end of this life to apply justice and peace. And we believe the Almighty God will guide all the true believers to be his followers and to honor him. Yet Muslims distinguish themselves by believing Jesus, peace be upon him, like Muhammad and Moses, an honorable, noble messenger of God. We do not use the term son of God. Concept of Trinity simply does not exist in Islam. Muslims believe God chose Moses, gave him the Torah as the guidance for the children of Israel. God chose Jesus and taught him the gospel as to confirm the message of Moses. And we believe God chose Muhammad and revealed the Quran as the final scripture into him to confirm the previous scriptures and as a guidance for the believers. Finally, Muslims believe in the Day of Judgment, life after death, physical hell and heaven as the expression of the mercy of God for the believers and the warning of the torment of God for the disbelievers. So these are the five articles of faith that highlight the Islamic faith in a few minutes.
Thank you. Rick, if you would, a few words about Christianity.
The Bible is a story of God's mission to bless all peoples, and it begins with the creation of all things. The one true God, the Almighty God, created the world. And then the Bible says he created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve fell into sin. They rebelled, and we're still in this time of sin. We live in a broken, bleeding, yet still a beautiful world. This fall, this sin has wreaked havoc, and we all feel the sting of sin somewhere. But after the fall, then the Bible says God chose Abraham. Abraham rejected the idols of his day and followed the one true God with a commitment to bless all the peoples of the earth. Then God delivered Israel, chose Moses, and he sent numerous prophets to call people to faith in the one true God. These prophets begin speaking about this coming Messiah, the one that we know as Jesus. And as the Imam said, Imam Ahmed, this is one of the differences we have. You'll often hear evangelicals say, Jesus is the Son of God. And the problem with that is that most evangelicals don't understand fully all that that means. And I just want to point out that the concept of the Son of God, God did not have sex with Mary. There's nothing physical about that relationship. That's blasphemy. That's heresy. That's absolutely wrong. We believe the concept of the Son of God, it's a metaphor. Like you say, I think in Egypt they say, I'm the son of the Nile. It doesn't mean it's sex with the Nile. It means he has this close relationship. He lives near the Nile. And so it's both a metaphor in Scripture, and most evangelicals don't know this, by the way, that the term Son of God is used much more frequently to talk about the Messiah, the coming Messiah, Jesus. And this Jesus, we believe, is God who came to earth to reveal his love to us. Ultimately, he died on the cross bearing the sins of the world. And for followers of Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, we see that as the greatest demonstration of love, especially enemy love. Here he was being crucified by the Roman centurions, and he says to God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the cross is so central to our faith. That is where he took our sins upon himself and defeated Satan or Iblis to begin a new world order that began when he rose from the dead. He died on the cross, rose from the dead. It's fascinating when you think that you can find the grave and the bones of every religious leader except for Jesus. He was the one religious leader that rose from the dead. And we look forward. The Bible begins with the one true God. When Jesus returns again, there'll be a perfect rule. And I just want to say this. I think it's important to clarify. Obviously, we have differences in our faith, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but, you know, we believe as followers of Jesus that God is great. Allahu Akbar. God is the greatest. And because of that, when God speaks, we submit. And he's revealed himself to us, first as creator, then as savior in Jesus, and now he's given us a Holy Spirit. Now, traditionally, this is called the Trinity, but just as there's misunderstanding about the Son of God, so too the Trinity. Christians do not believe in three gods. That's blasphemy. That's heresy. Now, they may talk like they believe in three gods. But the fact is, God has revealed himself in this way, and we believe what he's revealed. And I do believe that in Islam, there's the theology somewhere in the history of the Kalam Allah, the word of God. And somewhere in Islam, there has been the belief that the word of God is eternally existent, but it's not God. And so, in some ways, there are some parallels between Islamic views there and how we believe in this one God who's revealed himself as creator, savior, and now spirit, and we look forward to his return when he makes everything new. I was in Washington, D.C. a few years ago with Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and we were talking about human rights and these kind of things. And this rabbi says, any religion that believes it's the only way to God is bad religion. Well, I'm an evangelical.
So what do you think I did? I stood up and we, well, let's talk about this. And I said, listen, Rabbi, we can believe. In fact, I do believe Jesus is the way. But I also believe what he taught. And he taught me to love. He taught me to be a peacemaker. And so I must be true to my faith, believe he's the only way, but reach out and love and build relationships and work for peace. And by the end of my time with the rabbi, he shook my hand and said, I agree with you. I understand now, Rick. And I know Imam Ahmed and I have been in situations where he would love me to embrace Islam. I'd love him to follow Jesus. And we believe that we can still have differences like that and love each other and work together. Jesus said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. La ilaha illallah. Basically, there is only one God, and we're to love this God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And that's basically why I'm here. And I believe that how we respond to our Muslim neighbors is one of the greatest challenges of our generation. And as for me and Peace Catalyst International, we want to follow Jesus and love our Muslim neighbors. That is the key point of connection that we have, at least one of the keys. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you both. That was great. So Imam Ahmed, I want to come to you next. So would you just tell us a little bit about what Islam teaches about Christian and Muslim relations? And then Rick, if anything you'd like to add after that, we'd love for you to add it.
Thank you very much. I assure you that Islam presented in the Quran, our scripture, gives a special honorable status to the Christians as and to Jews as well as people of scripture, Ahlul Kitab. And I will recite in front of you a few verses from the scripture that highlights this status and this relationship. I know post 9/11 and with the media, maybe average American Christian thinks that the Quran says and commands Muslims to go to kill their Christian neighbors. We offer free English and Spanish Qurans. I have a few copies with me here, and I challenge anybody to open the Quran and to show me where that is. The first Muslim Christian touch was in the life of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, when the Almighty God commanded him to approach the people of Scripture. And there is the verse number 64 in chapter number 3. And the name of this chapter is named after the family of Imran. We believe the family of Imran is the family of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So chapter number 3 in the Quran is named after the family of Mary, the family of Imran, where the Almighty there talks about the righteousness of the family of Imran and Mary's mother's supplication to God and her dedication to her pregnancy to God. Then Mary came. And the chapter talks about Mary as how she was raised as righteous and pure, where the angels descending to her with unseasonal food. A long story, good to grab the Quran and to read it and to see the respect. So in verse number 64, the Almighty God speaks commanding the Prophet Muhammad, say, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ, say, O people of Scripture, come to a common word between us and you, that we shall worship none but God the Almighty. So the common word, that is the Quran, God is recognizing in the Quran that Christians, like Muslims, they have the same common ground, that is to turn their faces in worship to the Almighty God, the Creator. A few years back, the Muslim scholars from the Muslim world issued a 37-page letter to the Western world, to the Christian world, and the letter called Common Word, quoting from the Quran. I think Rick can talk about this letter because he knows this letter. So number one, it is the approach to come to the common word. We have common ground. We don't have differences only. We do have differences, but we do have common ground and common values. Number two, in chapter 61, the last verse, chapter 61 is a short chapter talking about Moses and Jesus. In the last chapter, God sets the disciples of Jesus as the example of the true believers and commanding the believers, the followers, the disciples of Muhammad to follow their footsteps. And where, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kunu ansar Allah. I will read again, chapter 61, verse number 14. O you who believe, God's talking to the believers, be helpers, like for the sake of God, as Jesus, the Son of Mary, said into the disciples, who are my helpers, i.e. for the sake of God. And the disciples said, we are the helpers for the sake of God. And so it has been set as a noble example for the followers of Muhammad to follow the attitude of the disciples of Jesus, peace be upon him. You can read about these disciples and their testimony of faith in chapter 3 and chapter toward the end of chapter 5 as well. Did the Quran, I will finish with this, did the Quran criticize the people of Scripture? I would say this, the Quran is a book of values, and praised those who honor these values and criticize those who violate these values. The same the Quran did with the believers, the followers of Muslims. We have a chapter number 63 in the Quran. And chapter 63 is named after the hypocrites called Al-Munafiqun. These are supposed to be the followers of Muhammad. God criticizing some of the attitudes of hypocrisy, lacking the strength of faith, lacking the truthfulness with the Almighty God. So the Quran criticized some Muslims for violating the values and praised some Muslims for standing in the values. The Quran did the same with the people of Scripture. The Quran criticized those who twist the teaching of God for sake of worldly benefit. I believe the Bible has such a criticism for such writers, okay, who will buy a worldly price for twisting the meaning of the teaching. Oh, anyway, but I will recite for you now only one verse, and we have many in the Quran, that praises the people of Scripture. I'm reading from chapter 3 as well, and this is verse 113, 114, 115. If you have a copy of the Quran, you can open and you can read with me. لَيْسُوا سَوَاءَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ. The Almighty says, they are not all alike. But of the people of Scriptures, Christians, there is a staunch, a community who recite the revelations of God in the night season, falling prostrate before God. They believe in God and the last day and enjoin right conduct and forbid indecency and vie one with another in good works. God says, these are of the righteous, and whatever good they do, they will not be denied the meat thereof. God is aware of those who ward off, like evil. So the Almighty God here is, we never heard these verses praising Christians and people of Scripture in the media or in any talk. We only hear people who dig just for half or part of a verse to prove us Oh, the Quran is attacking or criticizing the people of Scripture. In chapter number 5 in the Quran, God talked about lawful, the food of the people of Scripture for you, and your food is lawful for them. Lawful for Muslim men to marry from, take a wife from the people of the Scripture. So these are family affairs. When we have interfaith marriage with Christians, and when we eat the food of one another. If we sit together, eat the food of one another, and like a Muslim man with a Christian wife who have children together, how somebody would imagine, the Quran says, go out and kill your Christian neighbor. And without showing, without even bothering to say, hey, open the book and show me where God says this. Thank you very much.
Rick, is there anything you'd add to that?
Thank you, Imam Ahmed. I have only one thing to add. One of my favorite verses in the Quran says this. It says, God sent Jesus in the gospel and ordained in the hearts of those who follow him compassion and mercy. So I certainly want to be a man of compassion and mercy. That's a very powerful verse, and I think a challenge to followers of Jesus. There's another verse in the Quran. There's so many. I know we don't have time to quote them all, but where it says Christians are nearest in affection to Muslims. They have, it's a very special verse, and I've certainly experienced that in my relations with Muslim leaders like these two.
That's great. Thanks. So I think it's really important for us to remember, as he's talking, that a lot of times what we want to do when we're talking about one another's faith, or when we're talking about Islam, is we're trying to exalt the worst without taking it in its context. And I think it's really important for us to think that people can do the exact same thing with Christianity, just because I'm talking to Christians primarily in the room, is that they can exalt the worst and take things completely out of context and say, oh, see, look, you don't believe in peace. You don't believe that Muslims and Christians should come together. Take this one verse completely out of its context. And I've actually learned this from the imam in our relationship and our conversation, so it's very helpful. Thank you for that. Rick, you know, the next question I'd like to go to you, and because we believe that a lot of Americans fear Muslims, and there is a rhetoric of hate in our culture, how should we respond to that?
I think three things that we should do as followers of Jesus. It's about faith, facts, and friendship. First of all, as followers of Jesus, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and discipline. And so I think we're called to resist the fear that's so prevalent today in the media. In fact, the media is filled with fear lots. We're supposed to fear all the time, and yet one of the most important and frequent commands in the Bible is fear not. So I think we need to look at our faith seriously, and when people are so bound by fear, I question where they're at in their walk with Jesus. So we look to faith. We look at our own faith and say, wow, yeah, we need to fear not, and we need to receive the power of the Spirit. Secondly, we need to look at the facts. The vast, 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 did you hear that? Majority of Muslims are just like you and me. They want to be faithful to God. They love their children. They want good jobs for their children. And they want to be good neighbors. The facts are, there are about one, and you footnote me here later, you too, but there's well over 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. And I want you to understand the diversity here. There are two major sects, the Sunni and the Shia. Then you have at least 8 schools of law, at least the common word Jordan said that, within Islam. So you have all this theological diversity, 8 different schools, 2 sects. Then within this you have a group called the Sufi. They're the mystics. They're the ones that want to encounter the love of God, and they're active in this group called Muslims. You've got secularists. You've got fundamentalists. So the facts are, it's just so radically diverse. And we were talking earlier about the fact that in every culture, they have different manifestations of Islam, just as they do Christianity. There's well over 2,000 different ethnic groups in the Muslim world. So you got huge, huge diversity, schools of law, all, and the ethnic diversity, etc. So we need to have a realistic look. So it's helpful to fight fear with facts, so do research. And lastly, friendship. Look at your faith, look at the facts, get the facts. Don't just believe everything on Facebook or the social media. Build relationships, meet Muslims. Nothing will change your perspective more than a relationship.